Okay, here we go. So Revelation chapter 6, I'm going to teach two messages on this chapter today. And so in the first message, I'm going to cover the first four judgments that are mentioned in this chapter, because really those four go together, and you're going to see that as a pattern. They kind of lump together. They're kind of like in a family, so to speak. Those four judgments go together. And then I'm going to do the second one. I'm going to preach the next two judgments mentioned in this chapter. So before I get into looking at what is happening in Revelation 6, I want to share a few things with you that will help you understand what's going on, the context. So first of all, the events that are happening in Revelation 6, Jesus is, he's opening, he's got this scroll, you remember from Revelation chapter 5? He's got the scroll, you remember what the scroll is? Yeah, it's the title deed to the earth from the Father, who owns it all because he created it, right? Of course, so did Jesus. But as a human being, Jesus is given authority, the title deed to the earth, to be the king and to rule the nations and to be the one who implements the Father's plans for all the earth and for all the nations, because it has to be a human being. We talked about that in the last message. And so you remember that on this title deed to the scroll, it's held together. It's like a, you know, it's rolled up piece of paper. And it's got six seals that hold it together, right? And to open it, to unroll it, you got to break the seals. And so that's what's happening, is those seals are actually, the seven seals are actually seven, it's a series of seven judgments that the Lord releases upon the earth. Because remember, God's plan for Jesus to come at this season of history and to really finish his plan, what he's doing is he's bringing judgment and he's removing the kingdom of darkness from the earth, okay? The other thing that he's doing is he's establishing light in the earth, okay? So what's happening is the events in Revelation chapter 6 begin halfway through the final seven-year period before Jesus returns. So remember, we looked at that in session one. There's that final seven-year period that oftentimes we call the tribulation period. It's the final 7 years before the return of Jesus, right? You guys tracking with me so far? Halfway through that 7 years, 3.5 years into it, begins what's called the Great Tribulation Period. It's that final 3.5 years before Jesus returns. And it's called Great Tribulation Period because great tribulation and desolation fills the earth. One, because of the sin, the sinfulness of mankind and the fury of the Antichrist just raging, and also because of the judgments of the Lord that are unreleased in the book of Revelation. So Revelation chapter 6, it picks up the story at the halfway point of that final 7 year period. You guys with me? Okay, good. Here's another thing that I want you to know. Revelation chapter 6 through Revelation chapter 19, all the events that are mentioned in those chapters happen in that final 3.5 year period. So from now through chapter 19, all these events happen in only 3.5 years. And we're going to read some crazy stuff that happens on the earth. It happens in just a 3.5 year period. This is a time like no other time that's ever been on the earth. Second thing I want you to know is the 3.5 years preceding Revelation 6. So we're talking now the first half of that final 7 year period, the tribulation, okay? Will be a time of false world peace marked by the harlot Babylon's false worldwide religion of tolerance, a great falling away from the faith, and enormous hatred and vicious persecution of the saints, those who are staying loyal to Jesus. So what ends up happening initially when the tribulation period begins, the Antichrist kind of comes into a place of prominence, and he's got this mask on as a Mr. Nice Guy mask, okay? And he's kind of masquerading as like this man of peace, you know, he's just a good guy, and there'll be this harlot Babylon religion, that it's this one world religion type deal where it's marked by false tolerance and it's false peace. And basically it will say all religions are equally good. All religions are equally good. There are no moral absolutes. Does this sound familiar? You know, this is, guys, I'm telling you right now, that spirit is really, really strong and active right now in our culture right now. And this is where it's heading, okay? This is where it's heading. And it's going to be this, the nations will celebrate. The nations will be like, man, this is so awesome, you know? And because nations that used to be at war, even, you know, you think of like Islamic nations and Israel and things like that, it has seemed like the Antichrist, he'll work out a deal where it seems like they're willing to kind of get along. And everybody's going to be like, woohoo, it's like, you know, like this, it's this false sense of world peace. But what is happening is this, the Antichrist actually has a two-part strategy to cause all the nations to worship him. And stage number one is he'll use this false religion of religious tolerance to allure the multitudes to take a step back from their allegiance to the religious belief systems that they grew up with, okay? Because he knows it's too big of a jump to get, you know, really, you know, to those who grew up in a Christian environment to just go all the way to worshiping this man who's demon-possessed, you know? It's like, that's too big of a jump. And so, or to getting, you know, devout Hindus or devout Buddhists, you know, who are loyal to just all of a sudden say, you are God, we will worship you. He's like, that's too big of a jump. So stage one is he deceives the nation, but he just wants to take them a little step, just acknowledging that, hey, all religions are equal. There's no moral absolute. So what they do is they actually compromise. It's a compromise. And when they start compromise, this will be a season marked by a great falling away from the faith, even among believers. There'll be many who grew up, many believers who grew up in a Christian background who will buy into this. They'll actually be deceived, and they'll be like, man, I mean, this is such a good thing. Look, you know, the nations are starting to get along, and, you know, hey, isn't it nice to just get along and say, you're good, I'm good, there's no moral absolutes. But it'll look like that on the surface. But at the same time, those of us who stay true to the Word of God and the true gospel will be like, no, all religions are not equal. And we'll not be doing it because we hate people, because we love people, and we're brokenhearted over seeing the massive deception. People we love falling away from the faith. People we love that don't know the Lord just going off into deception, and we'll be proclaiming the true gospel. There'll be a great harvest happening at the same time. But we'll be proclaiming the true gospel, and they will hate us for it. Because we'd be like, there they are again. Those Christians, it's that one group of people that they always mess things up. We all just want to get along, and you won't go along with what we're saying. And we're like, because it's not true. It's a lie. He's fattening you up for the slaughter. That's what the Antichrist is doing. Because stage two is after 3.5 years of compromise, and there's vicious persecution, massive persecution and will be happening against the saints. Because you can imagine when all the nations had this pseudo-alliance, and we're the ones saying, no, it's not true. I mean, just like now in our culture, you know, when you stand up for biblical truth, right now in our culture, on any issue, you take a firm stand, like, say, no matter how nice you are, the backlash is vicious. It's going to be way more than that. This is only a small sample that we're experiencing now of what's to come. But after that 3.5 year period, Mr. Nice Guy, so to speak, will take his mask off, the Antichrist. And he'll all of a sudden, he will bring an end to this, all religions are equal, okay? And he will demand that all the nations worship him or be killed. And he'll set up a worship system where all the nations will either have to worship him or he will kill them, okay, is what he's going to do. We're going to see that later in the book of Revelation. So that's what's happening in the before Revelation chapter, when Revelation chapter 6 takes off. It's the rise of the Antichrist taking off his mask and showing his aggression. Okay? You guys still with me? Okay, good job, guys. So let's go seal judgment number one. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. This is what's happening here is the Antichrist. It's showing us the Antichrist aggressively begins to assert his power and his dominance. As I watch, the Lamb... Who's that? Good job. The Lamb broke the first of the seven seals on the scroll. Then I heard one of the four living beings say with a voice like thunder, come! You know what I love? The Antichrist can't even come to power until God says come. Because all authority, remember we just saw Revelation chapter 4, God is sovereignly reigning over everything. Nothing's happening and oh, the world's in chaos. What's all these wicked people? God's like, I am so in control here. Come, in verse 2, I looked up and I saw a white horse standing there. Its rider carried a bow and a crown was placed on his head. And that's authority to rule. He rode out to win many battles and gained the victory. So again, this happens at the halfway mark. And you can read about it in Matthew 24, 15 through 22, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12, Daniel 9, 27. What ends up happening is he sets up an image and he declares it's the abomination that causes desolation, is referred to in the Bible. And he demands at this point, I demand that you worship me or I'm going to declare war against you. And because what's happened is during, you know, all the nations, not all of them, but a huge number of the nations start trusting him during this 3.5 year period. They think, here's Mr. Wonderful. He's the guy who negotiated world peace and he's making everything right and he's doing so good. And they'll actually declare their loyalty to him. Nations, there'll actually be 10 nations that will lend him their money and their military power. I mean, could you imagine right now, let's just say the United States, if 10 powerful nations said, we bring all our military might, power, soldiers, weapons, everything, and we submit it to your leadership. You go to war with anyone in the world, and you got 10 armies going with you. Okay? So that's what's going to be happening with the Antichrist. And he'll take off the mask, and he'll show his aggression. This is the beginning of the final 3.5 year period. At this point, the Antichrist will destroy the false Babylon religion by demanding people worship him or be killed. And he will also use his vast political and military power to attack those nations that will not submit to his rule. He's even going to attack Israel. You read it in the Bible, it's very clear. He's going to attack Israel. He's going to seem like their savior, so to speak. And they're going to totally trust him and enter into this foolish peace deal that negotiated by him. And they'll think he's a great guy, but he will turn on them and betray them so fast at this thing. He will actually attack the nation of Israel and other nations as well, because not all nations are going to submit to him. There'll be some that are resisting. And he'll have so much political and military and economic might and power. He'll be like, you will submit to me there'll be wars. You can read about it in Daniel. He starts attacking different nations that are resisting his leadership. The seven seal judgments are released by Jesus. That's important to understand. The focus of the seal judgments is against the harlot Babylon religion and those aligned with her. Okay? So God raises up the Antichrist. Everybody say, God raises up the Antichrist. Okay? As his tool to punish these nations for their idolatry, their immorality, and their vicious persecution of the saints. You know, this false harlot religion and all the nations and peoples that were aligned with her, in the idolatry, the immorality, the sex trafficking. I mean, it'd be sin galore, you know, when there's no moral absolute, so to speak. And they say everything's okay, everything's permissible. Man, that's not a good thing for the poor and the weak of the earth. I mean, they are getting abused and hurt, and the saints are standing and preaching in righteousness. They're getting persecuted. God's going to judge all these nations that participated in this. And as his tool, his rod of judgment, he's raising up a man called the Antichrist to punish the Babylon religion and those associated with her. So does that make sense? Is that clear? And we see this pattern in Scripture. Many times God will do this. It's like, why would God raise up a completely wicked person to judge, granted, completely wicked people? But maybe it doesn't seem like they're quite as bad as he is. Why would God do that? This is what God's done throughout the entire Old Testament. He does this over and over again. You know, Israel sins, and he raises up nations even more idolatrous than they are and to conquer them and discipline. He says, they're my rod of chastisement. And then when he gets done with the rod, he breaks it over his knee, and he punishes that nation for their sins as well. Okay, so this is a pattern that God uses throughout the Scriptures. So the Babylon religion, it's going to be at this point, this 3.5 year mark, it's going to be destroyed. I mean, completely wiped out. This harlot Babylon religion of tolerance and everything's okay. It would be destroyed by the Antichrist and the 10 kings who serve him. So that's what's happening in the seal judgment number one. It's the rise of the Antichrist beginning to aggressively, he takes off Mr. Nice Guy mask and aggressively asserts his military power. All right, seal judgment number two. Revelation 6, and all these first four, they all go together. You're going to see they kind of one leads to another. The Antichrist rises, which results in bloodshed and final world war, which is sealed judgment number two. It says in verse 3 and 4, when the Lamb broke the second seal, I heard the second living being say, come. Then another horse appeared, a red one. Its rider was given a mighty sword and authority to take peace from the earth. And there was war and slaughter everywhere. So this judgment, the Antichrist begins to assert his political dominance, and he says, you will submit to my rule and worship me, or else, and he begins to aggressively, even military campaigns, there's just slaughter everywhere, all over the earth. I mean, it's World War III. It's just enormous war happening here. Massive amounts of slaughter. The first four seal judgments release God's judgment in an indirect way. And in the sense, it's like God lifts his restraining hand off of evil men and just lets them attack and destroy each other and each other's resources. That's really a lot of what's happening in the first four seal judgments. God's just like, okay, I'm going to get you. You have this idolatrous heart that lusts after sin and does not want to submit to my rule. So it's almost like the Lord, his restraining hand on in history has been on the earth, holding back the sinfulness of men, restraining it. It's like in this season, for a short period, he just goes, have your way. And it's not good. And there's just war and destruction everywhere, and there's slaughter. It's an awful, awful thing that's happening. Seal judgment number three in verses 5 and 6 is famine and economic crisis. And again, this is just all really, these first four all go together. You know, it's common when there's a war. It's war wreaks havoc on land. It destroys fields. It destroys crops, sources of water supply. It destroys infrastructure, roads, buildings. It just, things get decimated. So there's economic crisis and poverty that happens. There's also starvation that starts happening because of famine and different things like this. This is a lot of times what happens when there's world war. You look at Germany at the end of World War II, and its cities were just like piles of rubble, just from the massive amounts of bombing. And it takes a toll on the economy. It takes a toll on the environment, honestly. And seal judgment number three is famine and economic crisis. It says, when the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the third living being say, come. I looked up, I saw a black horse. The rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand, and I heard a voice from among the four living beings say, a loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay. Now imagine that. You know, think of what I don't know, I have to look it up. What's an average day's pay, do you think, today? For an average salary, for a day's pay. I'm guessing, I don't know, let's say $100. I'm just guessing right now. But somewhere around there. It's probably more than that, actually. But let's just say a day's pay right now is $100. So what he's saying right here is the famine's going to get so intense that you'll work an entire day for an entire day's paycheck just to get one loaf of bread. Imagine a $100 loaf of bread. I mean, that's the level of scarcity in food supply that there's going to be. And money is the economic crisis, the buying power of the dollar or whatever, you know, currency that they're using in the different nation. The buying power of the currency is just going to be almost nothing. And there's going to be great famine, great poverty, economic crisis that comes. And really, it's a judgment from the Lord, but it's also just a result of the world war and the crisis and everything that's happening. So then he says, and don't waste the olive oil and wine. So seal judgment number four in Revelation 6, 7 through 8, 1/4, as a result of all four of these judgments, first four judgments, the cumulative effect on the population from the war, the aggression of the Antichrist, you know, he's killing people for not worshiping him. The famine and economic crisis and seal judgment number four, the cumulative effect is 1/4 of the total population of the earth dies. Now remember, this is just the first part of that final 3.5 year period. And already 1/4 of the earth is dead just from this. He says, when the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living being say, come. I looked up and saw a horse whose color was pale green. Its rider was named Death, and his companion was the grave. And these two were given authority over 1/4 of the earth to kill, and then it names how? With the sword, that's the war that's going on, with famine, and with disease. There'll be pestilence and disease unchecked going everywhere. Of course, you can imagine, I'm just imagining in that kind of an environment, the medical care is probably not that great. You know, a lot of times you go to third world countries that are just experiencing massive civil war, and the medical care is awful. It's almost non-existent because of the corruption and the death and the war. There's just, and the poverty, there's just not medical supplies and people there to help. So many people are dying. So there'll be widespread disease, and it says wild animals. Isn't that interesting? Wild animals will be part of it. So the Antichrist, he attacks the harlot Babylon nations using military force, which results in world war, economic crisis, famine, and disease. All of these combine to mount an enormous death toll. 1/4 of the earth. So it's estimated in 2025, they estimate that, you know, the world population will probably be around 8 billion people. Okay? So just for illustration's sake, if 1/4 of the earth were to die from these judgments, that would be 2 billion people die quickly from these things. That only leaves 6 billion people on the earth. Okay? Now you take that combined with later on, one of the trumpet judgments, I'm trying to see which one. One of the trumpet judgments, we'll get to it. 1/3 of the remaining population dies. So if you got 6 billion left and 1/3 of that dies in one more judgment, now you're down to 4 billion people left on the planet. We started at 8 billion. And in less than, you know, 2 to 3 years, you've lost half of the population of the planet. That's enormous. I mean, that is, can you imagine what the environment will be in the nations of the earth when that's happening? And it's not just one thing. It's war, it's corruption everywhere. People are filled with fear and paranoia. They're being pressured to worship this Antichrist or starve and get killed. And it's going to be a crazy place. And just the panic. You know what happens when people are scared for their lives? That becomes an awful environment to live in because they'll do anything to survive or to help their little ones survive. You know what I mean? They'll be stealing, they'll be killing, there'll be theft, there'll be murder, there'll be all kinds of stuff going on in addition to just the war and because of the conditions that are happening. So listen to this. That death toll, that 4 billion people in just those two judgments, that would be 3 million, when you average that out over a 3.5 year period, okay, 1,260 days, 3.5 year period is what the Bible says, that on average, 3 million people will die every day during that time period. Can you imagine that? The death toll of World War II was 50 million people died in World War II. I think that was 6 years or something like that. Is that right? World War II is about 6 years long. Okay, so that's huge. 50 million people were killed during that 6 year period of World War II. But we're talking here, 3 million die every single day in this 3.5 year period, so that 4 billion approximately end up getting killed. This is going to far surpass what happened in World War II. And it's not just going to be in Europe, it's going to be really, especially in the Middle East. In the nations surrounding Israel, but it's going to affect all the nations. That's why, listen to this scripture. Jesus said this, Matthew 24, there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world, nor ever shall be. Listen to this. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. That's what he says. And you can see why, huh? You can see why now. It says in Revelation 7, he says, I looked up and I saw a horse whose color was pale green. Its rider was named Death. Its companion was the grave or Hades. Other translations say it translate the grave in NLT, but Hades is what it means, or hell. So death is what happens to the body. The grave or hell, Hades, is the place that the spirit of an unbeliever goes after they die. Okay, so he's just saying here, it's like the death toll is mounting. It's like death is just taking lives left and right, and hell is right on its heels because the unbeliever is just, their spirit goes straight to hell. Okay, is what's happening here. So the enormous death toll will happen in four primary ways, just summarizing these first four judgments. The sword, which is human violence, will reach unprecedented levels. Famine is the second way, leading to starvation. Disease, wild animals. So many wild animals will become demonized since so many demons will be on the earth. And many diseases are actually spread by wild animals. You think of the bubonic plague, right? That happened back in the day somewhere. Europe, is that right? I didn't pay attention too much in history, probably. But it was spread by rats, wasn't it? Yeah, rats, rodents. I mean, it's a lot of times animals carry and spread disease. And so you can imagine the living conditions, on the earth, the filth on the earth, the lack of sanitary conditions on the earth because of the war and all this stuff going on, the animals running rampant. And plus, if there's a shortage in food supply, okay, even the animals are desperate. You know what I'm saying? And there's just going to be chaos. It's going to be absolute craziness. The sinfulness of man having its effect on the earth, the whole thing just spirals because of the effects of sin. You want some good news? Okay. I'm going to take a parenthesis right here because this is important. Okay, it's important that you understand the severity of what's going to happen, but it's also important that you understand God's strategy for the saints during this time to thrive. Because remember, these judgments, they're not from God against the saints. They're from God against the wicked, the harlot Babylon religion. So God has a plan for his people to even be blessed and preserved even in this season. Of course, we'll be dying through persecution, many of us, right? But I want you to read Psalm 91 with me. It's on your sheet. We read Psalm 91 all the time. And we take principles, spiritual principles out of it, of God's protection over his people throughout the ages. And that's right. That's good. But I believe that Psalm 91 has its most literal fulfillment during this season of history. And you'll see it. You see what everybody's dying from. And listen to the specific things that God protects us from that are listed in Psalm 91. The saints are going to experience miraculous provision during this season. And so God, God provided food for all of Israel, his covenant people, for 40 years in a desert every single day. Okay, Jesus multiplied food. You see many of the Old Testament prophets, and they'd get in a situation, and God, they would either multiply food or, some miracle would happen that food would come to supply God's people, right? And so this is going to be happening. You know, the saints, we're going to be operating in faith. We're going to call upon the Lord, and the Lord's going to supply what we need to survive for food. Amen? While everybody else is starving, the Lord's going to provide for his people. I really believe that with all my heart. And I think even that God will use as a witness to everybody else, because the Bible says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So everything that's not based upon the kingdom of God, it's going to be revealed for the sham that it is. And it's like all this false trust in their bank accounts and in this leader and in this thing right here, it's going to prove to be like, man, that was a building on a foundation of sand. But those who are trusting in the Lord and building their lives on the word of God, it's going to be revealed even when everything is being shaken, we'll still be standing. And I think God's going to use it. We're going to be operating in faith. I think we're going to be living in divine health. I think we're going to be operating. There's going to be tremendous anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the church to minister healing. How timely will that be? Even to the world, I believe, who they're dying, they're diseased, they're dying there because of these judgments. I believe we are going to be going to many of them and praying for them, and God's going to do miraculous healings, and it's going to result in whole cities getting saved, just like it did in the book of Acts. You know, you'd see one person get healed and two whole cities get saved as a result of this healing. I think we're going to see that again, and it's like the conditions of darkness and where all of a sudden everybody is just searching for anything that's real, anything that's stable, because all the things they trusted in are being revealed to be not worth trusting in. And in that environment, God's going to raise up his people. We'll be persecuted for sure, but we'll also be shining brighter than at any time in all of history. And even we're going to see a great harvest come into the kingdom of God during this season. And I believe even this is God's mercy to the world and to the nations, because he knows they're within 3.5 years of everyone who doesn't know Jesus being in hell forever. Like, the opportunity to choose life is closing quickly, and God, in his mercy, he allows to be revealed all the false foundations that they've been trusting in, so they see their own bankruptcy in their soul. And at the same time, he holds up his people walking in the light. And even though we're being persecuted unto death, we're so confident and joyful in him, we go to death. And we're operating in signs and wonders, and God's providing miraculously for us while everybody else is having a hard time finding food. And it's like, they're going to be like, what is going on with you? And I think many are going to come to the Lord during that season. We also have authority over wild animals. We have authority over wild animals. And I really believe that with all my heart. I could tell you stories, but I don't have time. But it's really true. We have authority over wild animals. And I believe there's going to be times, you know, where wild animals are just attacking people or attacking villages, whatever it is. And I think there's going to be areas where God's people gather together. They pray, solemn assembly type deal. God have mercy, and the wild animals will be called off. You see, even with Israel, it was a judgment for their sin, for their sexual immorality. But when they were in the desert, God sent serpents among the Israelites, and the 23,000 of them were killed, I think it was. I mean, a whole bunch of them died. It's because of serpents, wild animals that God sent in among them as a judgment. And when there was intercession by Moses, it was stopped, is what ended up happening. I think we're going to see these types of things happening in this environment. So let's just read it, the Psalm 91 protection, and listen to these things. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't it cool that when everybody's freaking out, we're going to be resting? We're going to be at peace. We're going to be like, God's in control. God has got this thing. We're within 3.5 years of Jesus being back. We win. We're in the season of the greatest harvest that's ever happened on the earth, and I get to be here to experience it. Yeah, it's not very comfortable. Yeah, the city I lived in used to be beautiful. It's looking in shambles right now. But the city that's coming, the city that's coming, the New Jerusalem, far surpasses it all. It's like God is good, and we're going to be in a place of rest as we abide in him. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Listen to this promise. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from what? Okay, we're talking the disease right there. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Now that's war. That's the war that's happening. Nor the pestilence. There it is, the disease and the pestilence. You're not going to fear the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. Here it is. Nor the plague that destroys at midday. So you got pestilence, plague that's destroying, disease, but we're not going to fear it. We have divine protection from it. Listen to this. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. 1/4 of the population dies, but it will not come near you. You guys seeing it? You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because these judgments aren't aimed at the saints. It's aimed at the wicked. Okay? And where there's going to be divine protection from the pestilence and from the sword, that comes from war and the arrow and stuff that's flying. Will we die from persecution? Yes. You know what I mean? We will die from persecution. But we will shine in the midst of it. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and make the Most High your dwelling. I mean, I think that verse right there could be the message we preach in that season to the lost. We say, hey, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you either. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Hey, you remember those wild animals? Listen to this. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because we're going to have authority even over the wild animals. Where they want to come up to attack, and in the name of Jesus, you'll stop right there. And they'll stop and go. Because we have authority over that. You know, we have authority over demons. We have authority over the wild animals. And I think this is literal. You know, a lot of times we use this like referring to demons, right? And I think that's appropriate to do because the Bible does use serpents, cobras, as a lion, as a metaphor talking about the devil. But I also think it has a literal fulfillment. I think there's going to be times where wild animals, lions and cobras and serpents are going to be killing people, but we're going to have authority and we're going to trample them. Listen to verse 14. Because he loves me, says the Lord. That's probably my favorite part. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. This is a promise for the prayer movement. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. So we see in these first four judgments that come forth, they go together. One kind of leads to the other, leads to the other, leads to the other. A quarter of the earth is going to die as a result. The Antichrist is going to assert his aggression. There's going to be widespread persecution, but the saints are going to have divine protection, miraculous provision. We're going to be operating in authority over sickness, disease, wild animals. We'll be proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and leading many to know Jesus in this exact time period. Do you guys get the picture of what this season is going to be like? Kind of the big picture. Okay, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. I mean, it's really, really true. It's like the worst season ever on the earth for the nations. But it honestly, it's the best season for the church because we're the level of maturity and purity and unity and spiritual power and authority that we'll be reigning, walking in. Listen, we're going to be ruling the nations with Jesus just 2 or 3 years after this. And already we begin to walk in that dignity, that royal honor, that royal authority and dignity, carrying ourselves, loyal to the Lord, shining. It's going to be awesome. I want to be alive during this season. I pray I get to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a 10-minute break.